Lord Jesus, we praise You, we exalt You, we thank You. Lord, we desire to walk closer with You. We desire to know You better. And we ask as we are going to make our way through this epistle that You would reveal Yourself to us in such an intimate and warm, enlightening manner. You would meet us exactly where we are individually and corporately. You would just breathe a new season of enjoying You into our lives. We praise You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Because of You, we have everything. In Your name, amen. If you would, turn to 1 John. We'll be in verse 1 down to verse 4 this morning in chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we've seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Most conservative scholars believe that the author of this epistle is John, but this epistle, like the book of Hebrews, does not mention the author. But if you take into account the intimate knowledge that the author has in regards to the subject matter, which is our Lord Jesus, and the intimate language He uses, then you get why the internal evidences point to the author as John. You look at the vocabulary such as abide, light, new commandment, and word, etc., and expressions such as eternal life and laying down one's life, pass from death into life, the Savior of the world, take away sins, the works of the devils and the others, and then the language is comparable to the Gospel of John. So if you want to know where I side, I'm going to side with the real smart people, and I'm going to say that the author's John. And I think it's important to understand who the Lord used to pen this epistle, because when the Lord uses people, He uses people. And so it's very important to understand and get a clue into who John was. We all know he was the beloved disciple and he had an intimate relationship with Jesus. But at the time of the writing of this particular epistle, if indeed it was John who wrote it, he was probably a very aged man. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, when you're older and when you're walking with the Lord longer, you really have a tendency to change. You should. I mean, that's sanctification. That's the progression of sanctification. See, John, when he was older, he would address the people who the Lord gave him under his care as little children. And his tagline for the people under his care, the thing that he would continue to encourage those folks under him, he would say, little children, love one another. And so when you find that within this epistle, you kind of get a fatherly tone as the author is addressing these group of people. Little children. Now, we should, I think we'd all agree, as you get older, and especially as you get older in the Lord, our hearts should be softening, and we should be getting to that place of really understanding that this life is such a vapor, and it won't be long till we're in the Lord's presence, and that should transfigure everything in which we do. The purpose of the epistle is, well, if you want to boil it down, it's going to be about relationship. He's going to speak about fellowship in the first two chapters, and we're going to learn that fellowship has to do with our communion with Christ. And I know we touch on this over and over and over and over again. Our communion with Christ is so essential to who we are. It molds us. It shapes us. You can't walk away from spending time with Jesus and be the same old person that we were before. And so when we think about communion, or when we think about fellowship, it's based in our relationship with the Lord. Secondly, another purpose in which it was written was to overcome error. Like the other epistles that we have ran across, false teachers infiltrated the body of Christ, and John's combating that with basically pointing them to Jesus, the Jesus that was revealed to John, the Jesus that John knew. He wanted people to know that Jesus Christ had a real body and he experienced a real death. And that also just kind of transfigures in. It's just not what we believe. We must believe. We must move upon what we believe. To whom it was written, even though the author's not mentioned and the folks who are being addressed is not mentioned, we do run across the term little children. So let's just say believers. I like that our Lord addresses us as children. He could address us in numerous ways, in numerous manners, but it's something to be said for the God that created the heavens, that the earth, that He would call us His kids through His Son. See, what I'm hoping that we gather as we're making our way through this epistle is a clear picture of who Christ is as revealed in the Bible. And I'm telling you, I think it will change the way we view life dramatically. Key words, one is knowledge, and it occurs at least 13 times. And John sharing his knowledge of Jesus with us, not to puff us up, but to draw us nearer to Jesus. Key verses, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just, and He will forgive us of our sins and purify us in all unrighteousness. 1 John 3:6, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning, and no one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Or 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Once again, the theme is relationship. That was really what the Lord, that one word is what the Lord used to open my heart to the gospel, was relationship. See, growing up in the South, I understood some type of religiosity being in the Bible Belt. And to be honest with you, I really did not want any part of it. But when the Lord put Rocky Christenberry in my life, and I saw this guy had a dynamic relationship with Christ, it opened up the door to what I was missing in my life, which was a relationship with the living God. John's first epistle is kind of like a family album. You know, when you look at a family album, you see resemblances of the family within the family album. God's kids have that likeness too. We're a lot like our dad when you think about it, in the fact that we're given new spiritual DNA via the Holy Spirit. We're not the same old people. We're different. The letter describes the similarities. When a person becomes a child of God, he receives the life of God, eternal life. All who have this life, it's shown in very clear ways. They acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord. They love God. And guess what? It doesn't stop there. They love God's kids. See, you remember the commandment, the greatest commandment, love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the Ten Commandments hinged upon. And so when our Lord Jesus went to the cross and we come to saving knowledge of who He is, I mean, that imparts it into our life. You can't separate the two. We can't say we have this dynamic relationship with the Lord and we don't like people and we don't love people. We don't love God's kids. That's not how it works, folks. Not only that, when we open the family album and we're looking at God's kids, we'll see one thing. They don't continue in the same sinful lifestyle. They're progressing. They're different. They're not the same folks as they were. John wrote this epistle so that all who have these family traits may know that they have eternal life. We read this in John 5:13. These things I have written to you that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. See, He is wanting these guys to get a hold of the Jesus He knew and He walked with. There's a lot of people that love to talk about Jesus, but they got such a wrong view of who Jesus is. They're not pointing to the Jesus that's revealed in Scriptures. They're pointing to the Jesus of their own making in a lot of ways. That's not John. Little children, love each other. I want to tell you about Jesus. Chapter 1 is basically just going to be an introduction in verses 1 through 4. Chapters 2 through 4 is true fellowship, and true fellowship's based upon staying in the light, since God is light, And that's seen in obedience, love, and truth. And then being part of the family is about being in God's love, which is also seen in obedience, love, and truth. When we put all these together, Lord willing, I pray what we're going to learn is God is light and God is love and God is life. And John is enjoying fellowship with that God and what he is wanting to impart to other people. I want you to enjoy the Jesus that I enjoy. I want to tell you about him. And as we walk in the light, what happens, we will regularly confess our sins, and that allows for the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another thing is we're going to learn here is that John is also wanting to warn them of the things that will keep them out of the light. False teachers, lies, and the love of the world. And so he's continually hedging, he's continually moving, and he's continually pointing people to Jesus. I want to ask you a question, but I'm not asking you to answer the question. You just answer it yourself, not out loud. Because some people like to answer it out loud, but don't do that. And I'm asking myself the same question when I ask the question, by the way. I'm not just, even though I'm going to use you, it's not singular. I'm in the you, okay? What's your devotional life really like? What's it really like? Because we're about to open up these first four verses. And not only is John going to explain who Jesus is, you're going to get kind of an insight into his devotional life. So I want you to ask yourself a question. What's your devotional life? Is it just about getting knowledge and stimulating an intellect? Is it just about pacifying a conscience? Or is it getting together with the living God and being blown away that you're his kid? Spurgeon said this, "Set not your affections upon things of the earth, set your whole heart upon things above. For here the rust corrupt, the moth devour, and the thief breaketh through. But all there are joys are perpetual and eternal. What is there here after all but cloudland? Why seek we to be lords of acres of mere mist? What are the earth's treasures but vapor? Will you heap up for yourself haze and fog? Clouds and mist will pass away. And if these be riches, how poverty-stricken you will be when you can carry none of these airy riches into the land of solid wealth." We're going to talk about Jesus this morning. The Jesus that John knew. So let's look at verse 1. What was seen, what was heard, what was touched. John says this. He says, "This was from the beginning which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." This is a doctrinal foundation of true fellowship with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no true fellowship with those who hold opposing views concerning who Jesus is as revealed in the Bible. These two verses in verse 1 and 2 teach us eternity and the reality of Jesus' incarnation. Jesus, who existed from eternity from God the Father and came down to the world as a real man. The reality of Jesus' incarnation is that John and the other apostles, they heard him, they saw him, they walked with him. He was a reality. Jesus, speaking of the eternal, he says he is the word of life. It was not a passing illusion, but it was a real person. So we got here, it says this, "that which was from the beginning." I don't know about you, when I read something like that, as someone who, you know, reads the Bible, I think of Genesis and I think of beginnings. And I think of Genesis, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But what John's sharing here, before there was a beginning, there was Jesus. That's what he's touching upon. Before there was anything we see in this world or in this vast universe, there was Jesus. Jesus was the beginning of beginnings. Jesus is eternal. Jesus has always been. We read in the Gospel of John, in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning to refers to the timeless eternity of Genesis 1:1. Now think about this just for a minute. The guy, the incarnate Jesus that John knew, stepped into time as we know it. He's eternal. He's God. See, the Word predicates time or creation. John makes it clear that the Word is not just the beginning, but the beginning of a beginning. He was there in the beginning before there was anything. I'd like to also add this as well. I think before we met Jesus, there was really probably not a whole lot going on in our lives. When we came to saving knowledge of who Christ is, it was a beginning of a beginning. And Jesus is all about beginnings of beginnings. That's who our Lord is. Jesus didn't have a beginning Himself. He existed from all eternity. And as far as a human mind can go back, Jesus is there. He had no beginning. He was the Word of God. He was the Word that was with God. He had a separate, distinct personality. We know this in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us this. Right here, though, we're just looking at the Father and the Son. Think about this just for a minute. Jesus, the beginning of beginnings. He's eternal. It's who He is. One Puritan said this, deity is not to be explained, but to be adored, and the sonship of Christ is to be accepted as truth and revelation, to be apprehended by faith, though it cannot be comprehended by the understanding. Now, when we're talking about the beginning of the beginnings, then John transitions into which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon with our, which we looked upon and our hands have handled. That Jesus that John has just shared, the beginnings of beginnings, the eternal God, is that we spoke with Him, we walked with Him, we talked with Him. Now, just imagine what that was like. As I was thinking this stuff and kicking this stuff around, now granted, we get to experience our Lord through His Word, via the Holy Spirit, but these guys saw Jesus sweat, these guys saw Jesus cry, these guys saw Jesus walk, these guys saw Jesus breathe, they talked with Him, they saw His countenance, they saw His face, and He said, I want you to understand this Jesus. And this is the Jesus I'm wanting you to get excited about. This is the Jesus I knew. He was the beginning of beginnings. He was eternal. And we saw Him. And we experienced Him. We touched Him. The eternal God revealed Himself to man in the simplest way that anyone can relate to. How does a baby start exploring their life, their world? What do they do? What do they do? They pick up and have a conversation? My kids didn't have no conversation. The only conversation they ever had was squalling when they were dirty or they wanted food or something, right? But when they wanted to explore their world, what did they do? They touched. They'd stick stuff in their mouth, right? The simplest way that the Creator of the universe could communicate to us was manifest Himself in the flesh. Where He could be seen, where He could be heard, where He could be touched. You know, we see God the Creator. We know He's revealed Himself through creation. We read that in Romans chapter 1. You gotta have some type of intellect to walk outside and understand there is a Creator behind all the stuff. But that would not explain His love. You see love in His creation. I mean, when you create something, okay. If you make a cake, don't you kind of love your cake just a little bit? Come on now. Like, look at this cake. I love this cake. You know, maybe you write a paper. Okay, you might be just wanting to get through with your paper. Probably. But then you kind of you put some effort into it, right? Anytime you create anything. But they don't explain the full extent of God's love. He loves His creation. You can see it. But what was the simplest way to say, hey, I want you to understand something. I love you. He sent His Son. And John's saying, I want you to understand something. I leaned upon His breast. I was there when He restored Peter. He let me record it. That's the Jesus I saw. We seen Him. We heard Him. We touched Him. Now, granted, we don't get to experience Jesus that way, but we do get to experience Him through this precious Word. We do get to experience Him with fellowship in the saints. We do get to experience Him with communion through the Holy Spirit. See, there comes a time in our relationship with the Lord that we got to really buy into this thing. that it's not like a hobby. It becomes the very centro factor of our life. It's how we go about our day. He is the most important thing going on. Our devotion time with Him is not just, okay, I had my devotions, I'm supposed to have my devotions. Our devotion time is not about pacifying a conscience. Our devotion time is not about an intellectual endeavor. It's like, I want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you. I want to walk away differently because I've been in communion with you. Man, I'd love to get to a point. I'd love to get to a point that John was at. You know, tradition says that's how he addressed people, and that's what he just kind of reminded people. That was it. Little children, just love one another. I mean, sometimes the older you get, you're not as patient as you once were, if you had any patience to begin with. And here if you get a chance, if you're inclined to, I encourage you to read Fox's Books of Martyrs. And there's a little story in there about John chasing down a guy in his old age trying to bring him back to Christ. That's who he is. What makes a man do that? I seen him. I heard him. I touched him. I walked with him. This is my Jesus. If you were God, would you go about revealing yourself to man? How would you tell him? Send his Son. We read in John 14:9, it says, "So then if we really want a clear picture of the Father, this is what he says. Jesus said, 'He who has seen me has seen the Father,' in John 14:9. If you want a clear picture of who God is and how much God loves you, spend some time in the Gospels and see how Jesus interacted with people. Zacchaeus, come on down, brother. Matthew, leave your table. Let's go. Put down your nets." I think somewhere along the way, between when we get saved and we start walking with the Lord, we miss how good God is. We read stuff and we learn stuff and we sit and we listen to studies and all this other stuff. But in the midst of all that, just kind of the overriding, we forget how good He is. We get the doctrinal thing right that, yeah, He sent His Son. He sent His Son, and His Son went to the cross to atone for my sin. We get that, but we forget the backdrop of that. It's God's good. The beginnings of beginnings said, "Hey, I got a plan. I know this is going to kind of all mess up. But I got a Son." Because Jesus is God's revelation of Himself, He also has a very special name. It says the Word of Life in John 1:1. The same title, of course, opened up John's Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word of Life, or the Logos, or Logos, or however you pronounce it. I've been corrected both ways. The idea of Logos, of Word, for the Greek world for the day and for the Jewish world, it was very important to understand this. God was often referred to by the Jews as the Word because they knew God perfectly revealed Himself in His Word. For the Greeks, the Logos was based upon an organization and intelligence in the universe, the ultimate reason that controls all things. They kind of had an understanding of this. What John is saying, I know who Logos is. He's Jesus. I saw Him. I touched Him. I talked with Him. That's who He is. Wiersbe said this, "Why does Jesus Christ have this name, the Word of Life? Because Christ is to us what our words are to others. Our words reveal to others just what we think and how we feel. Christ reveals to us the mind, the heart of God. He is the living means of communication between God and men. To know Jesus Christ is to know God." Think about it. We get such a skewed view of Jesus. I think a lot of times we form Him into what we would like Him to be instead of who He's revealed to be. I pray that we as a group of people that are going through the Bible and spending time in the Bible, we would get a very clear picture of who Jesus is. And in the midst of that, what will happen is we'll see how valuable we are in Christ. We'll know who we are because we know Jesus. So John says this about our Jesus in verse 2 through 4. He says, "The life was manifested that and we have seen and we bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was from the Father was manifested to us. That which we've seen and heard we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you that your joy may be full." Look at verse 2a. Jesus is not a fable. He's a real person, folks. He's not a lucky rabbit's foot. He's not a story. He's a real person. John said the life was manifested. This life was manifested. That is, it was actually and it was physically real. And John once again says, "I've seen that. I experienced that. He really lived." Jesus really always lived, because then once again we run into eternal life, which was with the Father. And calling Jesus the eternal life, these are actually words John heard from Jesus Himself, when you think about it, if you read the Gospel of John. Jesus said this about Himself in John chapter 5, verse 26. "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He's granted life and to have life, His Son to have life in Himself." For John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live." But you know what? That's who Jesus has always been. Because if you jump over to the Old Testament, you read Micah 5:2, you read this, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come to Me the one to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." The word "everlasting" here literally means beyond the vanishing point. He's always been. Why does He keep hammering this? I think one reason. Trust. He's always been. You can always trust in the always been, can't you? You can always trust in the beginnings of the beginnings, can't you? Just think of it this. I mean, you start thinking about this stuff, really. Eternity stepped into time as we know it. One scholar put it this way, "I'm glad that my knowledge of the eternal life is not built on speculations, philosophers, or even theologians, but on the impeachable testimony of those who heard, saw, gazed at it, handled Him, and whom was incarnate. It's not merely a lovely dream, but a solid fact, carefully observed and accurately recorded fact." He is who He says He is. And based upon who He says He is, He invites us into relationship with who He is through Jesus. He goes on to say, "That which we've seen and heard, we declare to you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." The apostles, they didn't keep this wonderful news a secret. They realized that the basis of all fellowship is found here. So they declared it freely and fully. All who receive Jesus has fellowship with the Father, with His Son. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're out of fellowship. That's what He's saying. Doesn't mean He doesn't want to be in fellowship, because He does. He sent His one and only Son to provide access for that fellowship. But essentially, when someone is lost and someone rejects the gospel, what they're saying is, "I don't want to have fellowship with you, God. I don't want to go in the avenue in which you have provided for fellowship." Our fellowship with each other is not based upon our likes and dislikes, by the way. Our love for each other is not based upon likes and dislikes, meaning hobbies and interest. That's not our common fellowship. That's not why we gather here together. The reason why we gather here together is because we're celebrating the beginnings of beginnings. We are celebrating the Word manifested, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Why do we love each other? Because we've been bought by the precious blood of Christ, and we're brothers and sisters based upon that fact. That's it. Now from that, we might want to hang out and do some stuff that's similar. But let's get something straight. Our relationship's grounded. our relationship is grounded in something that's always been our Lord Jesus Christ. That will be the glue that sticks folks together. That's the glue that when you're weeping, you know what? I need to be weeping. When you're rejoicing, I need to be rejoicing. Because, wow, that's a victory for Jesus. Wow, that's Jesus' kid going through that, and I want to come alongside and undergird in some way and somehow. See, our fellowship is based upon Jesus. You can't get away from it. You get away from it, then you know what you have? You just have an organization where people show up and drink coffee, eat donuts, and hang out and talk about the Super Bowl last week. We're gathering here to worship and exalt. You know, we sing, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee. That's why we're here. One more thing to kind of think about here in regards to Jesus and regards to John is if he is indeed an aged man, he never got bored with Jesus. I mean, what he's sharing is kind of simple, folks. But what he's sharing has so much depth, I don't think we can fully grasp what he's sharing. After all these years, fellowship with the Father and His Son, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. The purpose of John's description of the beginnings of beginnings, the Eternal One, the Word of Life, is to bring his readers into fellowship with both God's people and God Himself through Jesus. Fellowship in the Greek is koinonia, and it speaks of sharing, communion, a common bond of life. It speaks of living, breathing, sharing, loving relationship with another person. You mean to tell me that the beginnings of beginnings wants to be in fellowship with me, wants to have that type of fellowship with me, wants to have that type of relationship with me? That should blow our minds. Why? Why? I know I'm not that interesting. I know that. Why? For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to the world. Love. Who likes to be loved? Everybody. Everybody. When's the last time we've been blown away by God's love? Changes everything. I think a majority of the time we go through life sour grapes thinking God loves this person more than He loves me. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. It's not true. This God wants to have fellowship with us. The God that David shared in Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. Okay, just the work of His fingers, He creates the universe, right? The moon, the stars, which you ordain. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You want to koinonia with me? When's the last time you were interested in a brother and sister in Christ and really wanted to koinonia with them? Not getting their business, find out what's going on. No, just, I want to do life with you, man. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing, life with each other. You know what gets in the way? We don't want to share what's going on in our life, really. That's what gets in the way. We don't want to get to the nitty-gritty and say, I'm really kind of struggling here. And I don't think you go around bleeding like a stuck hog to everybody. But there are to be a few folks that we can say, hey, you know what? I'm really having a tough time. This week's been kind of a bummer. This has happened at work and that's happened at work. Or, you know, I'm really kind of struggling right here with my marriage. Or, you know, my kids are maybe this. Or, hey, we got this financial issue. I'm not asking you for any money. I'm just telling you this is where we're at. And come together and start praying about that stuff. So many times our relationships with each other is based on such frivolous stuff. Not koinonia. Our common bond, which is Christ. This impact, okay, everything, this big bowl up of all this deep, wonderful stuff that John's sharing with us, what should it amount to in our life? He tells us. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Nothing new there, is it, folks? When was the last time we were really full of joy? When was the last time? Maybe the problem is we're not connected to the source. You got to read Fox Books of Martyrs and kind of read about what happened to John, by the way. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I'm encouraging you to read it a little bit. He was the last one to kind of bite the bullet. He didn't have an easy go of it by any stretch of the imagination. If the deeds, if the things that are indeed happened to him that's recorded in that book, I'm amazed that, hey, I want you to understand something. The secret to life is understanding the beginnings of beginnings. The secret to life is understanding where fellowship really lies. The secret to life is I want you to know the Jesus that I saw, that I touched, that I walked with, that I leaned upon. I want you to understand that you know what? That Jesus will provide joy. Happiness is fleeting because happiness is always predicated on circumstances, and circumstances change dramatically. The beginnings of beginnings, the eternal one, never changes. He's who He is. I like consistency with people. It messes me up, man. Man, you spend 25 years in a machine shop, you want consistency. It will mess with you. I love consistency. Sometimes good or bad, at least I know. I know what to expect. Okay, that's cool. That ain't nothing new. Heard that, seen that, been there. Big whoop. Move on. Let's go. Like I said, I'm not that interesting. I'm pretty boring. These things I write to you that your joy may be full. John realized the world is not capable of providing true and lasting joy for the human heart. It will never, ever, ever happen, folks. Never. You ever bought something you were just like so stoked about? You just, I finally got it. Oh, Mike, now. And the next day you were like, oh. I mean, we all done that. That just ain't nothing new. Oh. Boy, that was fun. I remember the first time I went to Six Flags. Six Flags, man, over Texas. If you really want to, oh, Margaret's in here. I'll tell you later. Now, if you really want to mess with Margaret, tell her that Six Flags totally trashes Disneyland or Disney World. And if you really want to get her goat, say, you know what, the Longview Carnival is better than Disney World. But anyway, I can remember the first time I went to Six Flags, just over the top, excited, you know, riding roller coasters, this and that, and all this stuff, you know. I may have been a little bit older than Jonathan, right? Couldn't wait to go back. You know, you go back later when you're 20, 25, it's not that cool. High food. I mean, you go in August, you sit down and other people sweat in those rides. I mean, it's disgusting. Long lines for a 2-minute ride. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, yeah, that's all great. $8 hot dogs or whatever else they want to sell at that joint, you know. How many times have we experienced stuff like that? I can honestly say Jesus has never disappointed me. Now, I've been disappointed in myself that I didn't hear Him right. And I had to come to terms with that. But He's never disappointed. He has always been true to who He is. And anytime I forget that and I get away from that, guess what? I open myself up for depression, for being bummed out. When we think of joy and we think of John talking about joy, this is something else that he heard Jesus say, by the way. He recorded it in John 15:11. These things I've spoken to you, Jesus said, that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus doesn't want you to have a bummed out life, by the way. Matter of fact, he said he's come to give life to be abundant. John 16:24. Until now you've asked me for nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. Or John 17:13, but now I come to you that these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. See, everything that he's sharing that's just mind-blowing about Jesus accumulates to this one thing that we're all looking for. It's built in us. We just keep trying to put happy in there and it doesn't stay. John's talking about joy based upon a person who will never disappoint you. That's what he's talking about. Based upon a person that wants to koinonia with you and never disappoints. Man, the introduction to 1 John, these first four verses are outstanding. Because it's about Jesus and who Jesus is. The Jesus that was revealed to John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. The life was manifested. We seen it. And we bear witness to it. We declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. We want you to be a part of this koinonia we're having with Jesus. Get saved. We don't want you to miss out. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. God desires to have a living relationship with Him and His kids. In Jesus Christ, He's revealed what life truly is. Even though we cannot see Jesus, touch Jesus as the apostles did centuries ago, Jesus can still be real to us as the Holy Spirit opens the Word to our hearts. He wants us to have joyful fellowship. It's not a fellowship of a boss or an employee, but of a child with a loving parent. We read Psalms. We read in Psalms, Psalm 18, 19. It says, He has brought me out into a broad place. He has delivered me because He delighted in me. Does that know what God's done for us? The broad expanse of His grace found in Christ. When's the last time you actually thought that the Creator of the universe delighted in you? See, our problem, our disconnect is I really don't think we believe what's written in this Word. Because it's easier to believe lies instead of truth. Jesus would go on to say this in John chapter 14, verse 19 through 21. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you, and he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus still shows up on the scene and shows who he is. All we need to do is draw through near worship, prayer, his word, fellowship with each other. He's not play hide and seek, folks. He's as real as he was when John leaned up against him. We're going to celebrate Jesus. Stephen's going to come up and lead us in worship. And this is what I want to encourage everybody in, myself included. I really believe God's asking us to let go of baggage. We need to drop it off. It's hard to run a race when you're carrying extra weight. And see, as we make our way through this epistle and as God continues to reveal Himself and how much He loves us and how much He cares for us, I don't want us to walk away with puffed up stuff. I want us to be just edified in life. I don't want us to believe lies that the enemy's whispered in our ears for years upon years upon years. I want us to be soaked and immersed in truth and who Jesus is. So as we have this time of worshiping before we get out the door, if God spoke something to your hearts, don't run away from it. He's good. He's faithful. He's just. Allow Him to do what He needs to do. Let go of what you need to let go of. Let's pray. Father, wow, the thought that you would want to koinonia with us. The thought that you want to koinonia with us to the extent that you sent your one and only Son to atone for our sins. Wow, what great love the Father has for us. Lord, we want to move into a new season individually and corporately. We don't want to believe any more lies. We want to go forward with you. We want to just see joyful. So Holy Spirit, minister accordingly. Bind the enemy. Take thoughts captive. I pray that folks would just be zeroed in on you. We thank you so much, Jesus. Your name, amen. 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 So much, Jesus.